Good afternoon. My name is Andrew, and I'm the minister of the congregation here. And on behalf of the church leadership and the members, I extend to you the warmest of welcomes to this worship service today, during which we will celebrate the marriage of William and Meghan. By way of clarification, we stand when we sing. The words will appear on the wall behind my head, and we sit to pray. When I come down to conduct the marriage ceremony, I will come down to the front, and the bridal party will be projected onto the wall behind me. It's not going to be perfect, but it will help the people on the balcony continue to participate in what's going on. We begin our worship of God this afternoon by singing praise to him from Psalm number 66. This psalm brings us immediately into the presence of God. This psalm reminds us that God is the one who is at the heart of all that we are doing this day. Shout to joy with joy all nations. Shout to God with joy all nations. Sing the splendor of his name. Make his praise resound with glory. Awesome are your works, proclaim. Say to God, so great's your power, that your foes' obedience feign. All the earth will praise and worship. Your name's praise will sing. We're going to be singing the first stanza, 1, 4, 5, 10, 11, and 12. Let us stand and sing praise to God. Seated. We shall close our eyes and bow our heads as we gather together in prayer to the living God. Let us pray together. Lord God, we come here this afternoon. We come to worship you as the living God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You sustain all life. We give you thanks that we can shout to you with joy. We thank you, Lord God, that we can sing the splendor of your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, that your deeds are truly awesome. We thank you, Lord God, that we come to worship you, many of us, as God fears. We pray that you will bless us as we do so. We pray that you would minister to us as we sing together from your word, as we hear your word read, as that word is explained to us, and as we gather for this marriage ceremony, we pray, Lord God, that you would be with us in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is already present with this church, and that he sees and knows and delights in all that we will do. We pray that you will bless William and Megan and their families. May they truly enjoy this occasion. In Jesus' name, amen. Fraser, will you close the front door, please? Is it closed? Oh, it's the windows up there, sorry. It's just the window upstairs. That's not vanity. I was told to make sure that everybody that was important was in picture. And the two people that are important are in picture, so that's good. We are gathered here today in the presence of God to participate in the joining for life of this man, William David Johnson, and this woman, Megan McAleese, in marriage. Marriage is not an idea which originated with man. Marriage is a life ordinance which has come to man directly from the mind and the heart of God. It is a unique and exclusive relationship between a man and a woman which God established when he created mankind. The fact that God instituted marriage at the creation of the world, before the entrance of sin into the world, is a clear indication that a union of a man and a woman into one flesh was a key and central part of God's perfect plan for his creation. Sin's entry into the world and its subsequent destructive activities does not alter the fact that marriage is between a man and a woman. It still remains a key part of God's creation purposes. A fact that was underscored by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he performed his first miracle at a wedding and through his teaching of the apostles. Marriage is therefore of critical importance in the eyes of God, who rules over all creation. Why? Why is marriage as critical today as it was when God established it? There are two reasons why marriage is critical. First, marriage shows us three really important things about God. And second, it tells us something very important about how God wants the world which he created and therefore owns to function. Taking the first, what does marriage show us about God? It shows us about the unity of his being. The Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons and yet in one Godhead. In marriage, the two become one. One man, one woman, one flesh. There is a loving submission within the unity of the Godhead. The Son submits to the Father. The Holy Spirit submits to the Son and the Father. And in marriage, as the man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, so his wife submits lovingly to her husband and reflects the divine pattern. And thirdly, it reflects the love which is integral to God's being. That love that is perfected in the Trinity is then reflected in a real and genuine way, albeit imperfect, within marriage. So marriage tells us about God. It tells us about His unity. It tells us about loving submission. And it tells us about the reality of love. But marriage also tells us something very important about how God has ordered the world so that it can function. In giving marriage between one man and one woman, God provided for humanity the means by which the human race is to be propagated. It's simple and it's clear. In His command to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, God was stating His will, namely that children be born and nurtured within the oneness of marriage, and so each generation, as God wills, gives birth to and nurtures the next. Marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation stone upon which all of society is established. Whether school, church, community, it all flows from the marriage bond. So what we have the joy of participating in today is not something that is merely traditional. It's not an occasion for a party. This is of real significance, not just for William and Megan. It has real significance for God, who is observing all that is happening in this building today. It has real significance for us as members of this society. This is a truly important and significant event. God has ordained it from the creation of the world. It reflects who He is, and it is for the well-being of the society, the world that He has established. And Meghan have publicly declared their desire to enter into marriage. Due notice has been given. A license has been issued. No reason has been given by anyone as to why they may not be lawfully joined together as husband and wife. The way is therefore open for us to proceed. Who gives this woman? You tell me. William and Megan, as a seal to the vows that you're about to make, will you please give each other your right hand? The vows you're about to take are vows for life. You're taking them in the presence of these witnesses, but you're taking them more importantly in the presence of the living God. He loves you, and He delights in you. Do you, William David Johnson, take this woman, Megan McAleese, to be your wife, to have and to hold from this day forth, in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer? And do you, in the presence of God and before these witnesses, promise and covenant to be to her a loving, faithful, and dutiful husband until God shall separate you by death?
I do.
Do you, Megan McAleese, take this man, William David Johnson, to be your husband, to have and to hold from this day forward in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer? And do you, in the presence of God and before these witnesses, promise and covenant to be to him a loving, faithful, and dutiful wife until God shall separate you by death? Jason, would you please give William Megan's ring? It'll be the big one. William, would you please place this ring as a token of your vowed relationship before God on Megan's fourth finger, on her right hand. Left hand. Thanks. I knew that Marjorie is here for a reason. It wasn't all the organization she's been doing for the last 3 months. It was to make sure the ring went in the right finger. Will you give Megan the ring for William, please? Put it on any of his hands, as long as it was on one. William and Megan, on this, the 1st of June 2012, you have made a vow before God and these witnesses to leave your parents and to cleave to one another as husband and wife. Having made these serious and solemn promises before God and these witnesses, I have now the unbounded joy and the greatest pleasure of pronouncing you husband and wife. And in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded for us in Matthew 19:6, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And in accordance with a request made by Megan yesterday at the rehearsal, in which William didn't disagree, I'm happy to invite you now to kiss your wife. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that this young man and this young woman are now one because of your desire for a man to be married to a woman. We thank you, Lord God, that this reflects you as God. It reflects your unity. It reflects the loving submission that exists within the Godhead. And it reflects the love that transcends perfectly between you and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that today, in this marriage ceremony, we have established another stone in our society, a stone that speaks of God and righteousness and love, of truth and mercy and grace, a stone that speaks of unity and love and submission and headship. We would ask you, Lord God, that you will bless William and Megan. We thank you for the love that you have given to them. We thank you for the respective homes that they have come from. We pray that as they now leave those homes and unite as one man and one woman, that you, Lord God, would lay your hand upon them, that you would bless them immensely, that they would know the presence of the living God with them, that they would feel his love as they would grow in knowledge of you together, as they submit to you, as William fulfills his responsibility to you to love his wife as Christ loved the church, as Megan fulfills her responsibility to you to love and submit to her husband, as the church submits to Christ. We pray, Father, that you will pour your blessing upon them, that they may know the richness of a godly marriage together. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so going to sing together again from the Word of God from the 24th Psalm. We're going to be singing the whole of that psalm, plus the portion at the end of the Psalter. The psalm speaks of the rule and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the power of God in the life of the individual. The earth and the riches with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has made. Then it asks the question, who can come into the presence of God? And of course, no one can. There's no one who can come into the presence of God except the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without sin, who laid down his life as an atonement sacrifice for those upon whom God set his eternal love. He will from the Lord then a blessing receive. The God of salvation will righteousness give. Thus looking to him is this whole present race, all those who like Jacob are seeking your face. This marriage ceremony is real. It is real because God is real. It is real because Christ has purchased the life of this man and this woman by their confession of faith. This marriage will be blessed as they seek the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. Psalm 24, we shall stand together and sing praise to God.
Seas, its foundations have laid, and firm on
going to read the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 2, the verses 1 through 10. This is the living Word of God. This will not change tomorrow. William and Megan, this Word will not change in your lifetime. It will not change ever. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. I want to begin, if I may, with a personal comment before I speak to you from the Word of God. I have been the minister in this congregation for almost 18 years. And whilst I have had many good days and many days when I've been happy, this is one of the few days which is marked with real exceeding joy. And I genuinely mean that. On the day I became minister of this congregation, I had the following words printed on the order of service. They're words taken from the letter of that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. They read as follows. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty or speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Today, by God's grace, I have a young woman in front of me who epitomizes all that I had in mind when I asked those words to be put in front of the order of service that day 18 years ago. Megan, your first contact with us and this congregation was as a child, 4. You were brought to a Holy Bible Club by your sister EJ. And during the past 16 years, we have watched you grow up. We've prayed for you. We've invested time and love and money. We have done that with all our children. By God's grace, you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've used the gifts that God has given you for his glory in this church. You've made good decisions in your life. Really good decisions. The Lord has brought you today to establish a home with a fantastic, godly young man. You're a great girl, and you're a great young man to be your husband. And my heart is genuinely filled with joy. I'm not really happy at the circumstances. I'm just filled with joy. Happy is too insignificant a word to use. William and Megan, as you start out today, I want you to remember three things. Some of you may think that some of these things are very odd to say at a marriage ceremony, but I'm speaking to William and Megan. Remember that you are sinners. You were both born in sin, not because the act of sexual intercourse is wrong within marriage. It's a glorious thing to be enjoyed within marriage. But you're both descendants from Adam, as are all of us. And Paul tells us that we are born dead in our trespasses and sins. And you both accept that fact. You've both been redeemed from your sin. William, you have publicly confessed that you're a sinner, and you have publicly confessed and declared that you believe in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, and you believe him to be your Savior, and you seek to obey him as your Lord. And you have a wife who has done the same. She has confessed her sin. She believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she desires to obey the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord. You're both still sinners. There is a law at work within you, William, and within you, Megan, which is real and it is bad. You, like all those of us who believe in Jesus Christ in this building today, we are still sinners. Sin doesn't want to share in the joy of this. Sin is corrosive and destructive. Sin is anti-God and all that God wants. The law of sin within you is not jumping up and down with joy. It will seek to be proactive to destroy the joy that you have. It will seek to be proactive in seeking to destroy the marriage that you have entered into today. That's going to be the reality of your life. You are redeemed sinners who still have a law at work in your life. It has no authority over you because its bondage has been broken through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it still plays at being the potentate in your life. It pretends that it has that authority, but it doesn't have it. But it's still real. Remember, you are sinners. Remember, you have a responsibility before God and to each other. William, you are commanded by God to give your life in love, unconditionally and sacrificially, to Megan. That is an unbelievable command the Lord gives you. But William, I want you to remember that command. I want you to remember that you're to give your love unconditionally and sacrificially to your wife. Not from someone who does that well, but from someone who speaks to you from God's word. Megan, you are to submit to William as to the Lord, as the church submits to Christ. You must do so without reservation and wholeheartedly. There's no point in just doing it for the sake of doing it. As he loves you, you submit to him lovingly. Remember that. Remember that when you want to fight against the pricks. Remember that. Remember you are sinners, and remember you both have an individual responsibility to God. William's responsibility It's to God to love his wife, you, Megan, as Christ loved the church. Your responsibility to God, Megan, is to love and submit to William as Christ requires of his bride. It's to God that you owe this responsibility. And thirdly, remember, it's about God's grace. You must work at your marriage, but you must work at it within the context of the grace of God. The line that you have been both given a great start, and therefore it's up to you now to get on with and make a success of it, does have a ring of truth. You are husband and wife. You have a responsibility to fulfill that obligation to each other. But do not stray into what I would call the debtor's ethic. I've had a good upbringing. I have been loved and cared for. Therefore, I owe it to my parents. I owe it to the church. I owe it to people to make this marriage work. There's a danger in thinking that you owe it to other people to make it work. You can only make it work by focusing on the grace of the living God. God's word is clear. The failure of God's people in the Old Testament to live according to what he had commanded them was not due to a lack of thankfulness or gratitude. It was due to a lack of trust and faith. There are a number of times in the Old Testament and in the New where we read about the fact that people were thankful to God for what they had received, but because of their lack of trust and faith in God and his grace, they made a mess of their lives. The psalmist speaks in Psalm 78, and he gives the reason why God's people sinned in spite of all the blessing. He says, although God split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly, as from the deep, yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. And why did they rebel? Was it because they didn't thank him for all that he had done? No, it was because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his saving power. And what was true of the Old Testament is true of the New Testament. We see that the New Testament giants of faith are those who do what God says they must do because they exercise faith and grace through their obedience. And I would encourage you, I would counsel you not to go the route of we must do it because of what we have received. That can lead to pride. That can lead to self-righteous judgmentalism. It can lead to impatience and bitterness. It can lead ultimately to a sense of shame at not succeeding. It can lead to creating anxiety and weariness. Remember that your life in Christ is by God's grace. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. You were doomed to a lost eternity. You were by nature objects of the wrath of God. But God, whilst you were yet dead in your trespasses, made you alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he goes on and says, it is by grace that you will live your life in Christ. And that means your individual lives, and now you're one that means your married life. It is God's grace. It is the grace of God that will take you to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And that you're going to have to, during your marriage, you're going to have to go to God and ask him forgiveness and seek that cleansing again from Christ. You will work at it. Of that there is no doubt. You will work at it really, really well. Having just seen you together I know that's the fact. But bring it constantly to God. Bring it daily to God. Continue to cry to Him for the mercy and the grace that you need to delight in and enjoy this wonderful relationship He's given you. The writer to the Hebrews says, it is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. The law of sin that works in your hearts, that would seek to destroy your relationship. You can only fight against it in the blood of Christ. Remember, you are sinners. You're not perfect. Remember the fact that you have a responsibility. But as you seek to lovingly execute that responsibility, William to Megan and Megan to William, remember God's loving mercy and grace. Bring it to God. Bring it to Him in prayer. Bring it to Him in love. And He will bind you together. He will bind you together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that this young man and this young woman, because of their love for You, because of the mercy and grace that they have received, that You, Lord God, have bound them together. And we pray that You would continue, as by grace You would seek to bestow upon them all that they will need. We give You thanks, Lord God, that they love You. And we pray that if You bless them with a family, that You would cause them to love and nurture that family in the things of the living God. That as they walk in the way which You have prepared for them, that they will delight in You and boast in You. That their confidence would be in the Lord Jesus Christ as they enjoy each other. Lord God, we thank You that as Christ loved His church and gave Himself for her, we thank You that William understands something of this and what will be required of him. We thank You, as Megan has seen in her own life here in this church, how we submit ourselves to the Word of God and the ways of Christ, that she will submit herself to the way that William will lovingly direct for her. And we pray, Lord God, that You will continually remind them that it is by grace that they are together. It is by grace that they will stay together. It was by grace that they will enjoy each other's life together. And we pray, Father, that they will have a long, happy, and prosperous life together as they seek first Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing once again in praise to God using the words of Psalm 98. Psalm 98, we're going to be singing the stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. These words speak of what I have been speaking about, salvation coming from the hand of God, how God comes with power to change the lives of men and women. Not just for life, but for eternity. And the joy of this relationship is that it will last until the day that God separates it. And then there will be an eternal joy as this young man and this young woman, at whatever stage God commands that of them, enter into His eternal presence and be part of His glorious bride. Psalm 98. We shall stand together and praise to God and remain standing for prayer and the benediction. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated. There will be the signing of the register, and then the bridal party will leave. If you wish to go out and take photographs across the street, you run peril, the risk of crossing the street at your own peril. But you can go out this left-hand side and out the left-hand door, please, because the bridal party will be gathered out at the front. There is a gate at the left-hand side. You can go out that. So if you don't mind going out the left and out the back. If you're in a rush to get something to eat, you can go into the back and you'll get something to eat there. Should we just give thanks for the food now? Would that be a good thing to do? Well, let's just bow our heads and we'll do that. Father, we thank you for all that you've given to us today. We thank you for the sunshine that has come. We thank you for this occasion and all that it means to every one of us this day. And we thank you for the provision of food that has been made. We pray that you will bless us the rest of this day as we enjoy taking the photographs, as we enjoy eating the food, as we enjoy talking together, as we enjoy giving William and Megan a hug. We pray, Lord God, that you will just fill the rest of this day with the joy of knowing our Savior in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.